and welcome to NextPod, the PNextGen's podcast made for veterinary students and young professionals who want to know what's next. I'm your host, Sarah Sett, and this month's topic is social media, digital marketing, and telemedicine. To speak on the subject, we have Snout School's very own Danielle Lambert. Welcome, Danielle.
Yay. Thank you for having me, Sarah. I'm super excited to be here. This definitely does sound up my alley with those topics.
Well, we're happy to have you. And we were just wondering if you could start by kind of telling us a little bit about yourself and how you came to do what you do today.
Yeah, good question. It's a kind of a long story. I'll give you the mini version. So my dad is a veterinarian in Northeastern Connecticut, and I kind of grew up in his practice and ended up managing his practice after college and fell in love with the marketing side of things while I was managing. OSHA is definitely not my calling, and I find inventory really boring, but I loved marketing and I loved seeing what we could do in terms of connecting with our pet owners and really increasing compliance by connecting with them on social media. So fell in love with that. And because of that, started Snout School to really focus just mostly on teaching clinics how to market themselves. Over the years, that's kind of morphed into teaching women in veterinary medicine to build businesses and brands. And that's kind of just expanding into a lot of different online education offerings now as I partner with the women in our Snout Squad, which is a group of women that are launching educational products through the Snout School platform. So it's kind of gone through a bunch of iterations, and that's the smallest version I can probably tell you, but that kind of gives people a little bit of insight into how we ended up here.
Yeah, cool. So, you know, what are you most passionate about? Like, how did you realize that that was really what you wanted to do? And what exactly does Snout School offer? Like, what kind of help
for? Yeah. So, oh man, that's like becoming a huge question too. So I personally am really passionate about figuring out ways to make you know, veterinary medicine just a little bit more like fun and approachable is really what I'm about. As kind of a non-medical person on this side of things, I always saw just a huge need for us to build out, you know, platforms that pet owners kind of expect to, you know, hear from brands on. So I'm really passionate about helping, especially women in our space, build out really great online presences, personal brands, so that they can connect with each other, connect with pet owners, and kind of build something for themselves. And on top of that, that kind of brings me into the education side of things. I like just like the quick cliff notes of education. Like, I want to just know what is like practical. What do I need to know now? So at Snout School this year, like I said, we're expanding so much. Right now we have a ton of marketing plans that help clinics get through exactly how to market specific services. So if you're trying to increase feline visits or talk about your curbside stuff right now, right? We have planners to help you get through that. And we are going from content like that, which was a collaboration between myself and Cheyenne Flerks from Hashwag Marketing, to content like we're building out a guide about the basics of cytology right now from Dr. Ashley Bourgeois, the derm vet over on Instagram. And it's just bite-sized, pretty like infographic style kind of content for somebody just to flip through instead of it being this like big long CE lecture that scares people off. So I just like making stuff really accessible. And I like people being able to build their own things. I think it's a really exciting time to kind of be able to build your own brand in this space.
No, for sure. I love that. And yeah, like social media has arguably just become like such a crucial tool for the next generation of vet professionals.
Oh, absolutely. I still to this day, it's like two different worlds. Like if I go speak to a practice owners group and everybody in the room is, let's say, seasoned, they think I'm insane. They're like, why do you need to do all this stuff? You're crazy, right? And then I'll go to a veterinary school and every single person in there wants to build an Instagram brand about being a veterinarian, right? So there, it's crazy how this next gen coming up really is hungry for that education and that platform, and that they're excited about it.
Mm-hmm. So on that, can you kind of share with us what you think is the most important thing for people to know when it comes to digital marketing / social media within the vet industry right now?
I think at the end of the day, it's kind of really basic. It's having some sort of a goal. Okay. So like if you are going to go on social media, either as yourself or as your clinic, why the heck are you going to be there? Is so important, because I think to my point about vet students being like, oh yeah, this is a thing. I got to make this Instagram account. Like, you're a vet student. You already have so much on your plate. So if you are going to choose to do this, you need to do it with intention and a tangible goal. And same thing applies to a vet clinic. Like, if you're just going to go on there and post some like funny cat memes, what was the point of that? You know? So I think really having a set goal, set intention, something you can track, and work toward and measure is really important to me. That might be like the former practice manager in me, but whenever I was, you know, creating something, for our clinic, I wanted to see results. So I feel the same way today still for clinics and for personal brands that want to jump into social. So have a goal, have a plan to get yourself there.
Yeah. And so are there any kind of steps that you recommend? Like, once, you know, like if you're a vet student, for example, you set that goal, what are kind of the next steps to properly, quote unquote, properly build your brand?
Yeah. So I love this. So speaking of collaborations that we have done throughout Snout School already this year with the Snout Squad, Christy Crow, she is now Dr. Christy, but she's Dr. Christy over on Instagram. Yeah. So she's got a great presence. She's like over 15,000 followers now. The two of us collaborated to make a guide to building your veterinary personal brand on Instagram. So that's one of the things we have over in the Snout School shop. So that is exactly the kind of content we like to make, but I'll give you kind of like the cliff notes of those cliff notes. Cause like I said, my education is super straightforward, but once you kind of say, okay, like this is my brand, you know, like this is my intention with my brand. So say, you know, when I graduate, I want to work in the Chicago area and I want to start building a client base there, right? If you have that intention, that's a lot different than I'm a veterinary dentist and I want to be known as like one of the leading veterinary dentists that gives educational content to my colleagues, right? Those are two totally different paths in terms of your content. So once you have that goal and clarity there, the next big thing really ends up being, what are you going to do to communicate to people what you're about so that you can kind of work toward that goal. So if you're trying to, build a pet owner base in Chicago, you're going to be putting content out that relates to that. If you're trying to build an international following of people interested in veterinary dentistry, that's going to be totally different content. So that's kind of the next step to me, is like you kind of define, you know, what the brand is about, who you're trying to speak to and attract. And then you can kind of start to build from there. That's kind of my next step.
Mm-hmm. I love that you mentioned that it's kind of different for each, you know, different kind of veterinarians or veterinary professionals, because, you know, like each audience definitely would be different. So
it's absolutely
kind of figuring out how to connect with those people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, just kind of on a side note real quick to give context, I guess, how would you currently describe the state of social media marketing within the industry today? Like, have you been seeing a change? Is it different than before? Just like, what's your thoughts on that? Ooh,
so it's hard, right? So, cause I kind of live in this bubble where the people that I really interact with love social media, right? So we have a really active group over on Facebook, that is just called Veterinary Social Media. So that is over on Facebook for people looking for a community that loves this stuff, but that's like an echo chamber, right? Everybody in that group loves this. They're excited about this, right? Then I go out into the wild when I'm doing public speaking, and in the wild, like I said, I can get people like giving me total blank stares on it. So I think that as an industry, I think we still have a lot of learning and growing to do with marketing. I think there's a big generational divide on it for sure. When you look at like a boomer mentality versus a millennial mentality on this stuff, there's a big, big, big generational divide. I think that that's starting to close as I see more millennials getting into leadership roles. And I'm excited about that. And I think as we see Gen Z move up too, we're going to just kind of see that this is just something we integrate into what we do. But I think we're still right on the cusp of it. I know a lot of clinics that are active on social media, but I would argue not a lot of them are still great at really understanding what it means to take great social media and convert that into business. And that's like where you really, really hit your stride. So we're getting there. I feel a lot more optimistic than I had in the past. But it depends on who you ask.
Yeah. And I love it. Like, so you mentioned, you know, getting your social media into the business side, I guess. So yeah. How, you know, for, I guess in this case, specifically for students or young professionals, do you have any tips for monetizing and kind of making a profit and in starting that part of the social media?
Yeah.
You know, brand.
So there's so many different things you can do there, right? So if you are building a personal brand, it might look like different affiliate deals where you partner with companies to talk about their products, or it could look like creating your own products. That's exactly why I'm helping the women in the Snout Squad create their own educational products, because that gave me so much financial freedom, right? I went from being a practice manager and I worked for my dad. So when you work for your parents, the wages are questionable. So I was never making more than like $17, $18 an hour, even though I was doing this like stellar job, really increasing compliance, and could show my dad like, hey, we quadrupled heartworm compliance. Can I get a raise? And he was like, do you need gas money? Are you okay? So I went from that to being able to do, you know, very well for myself, let's just say, selling online courses. And that's why I love, love, love online education. We're in this exciting time where people have that independence to create their own online tools for their colleagues. So I think that's an exciting way to monetize for sure. So like affiliates, partnerships, you know, doing things like creating your own products. There's people that start to create their own physical products, right? I think of somebody like Dr. Julie Busby that makes toe grips for dogs. So like she went from building like a little brand for herself to building up this whole empire now with that brand. So it can look like a lot of different things. And it kind of just comes back to knowing, again, like, what are your goals? How much independence do you want on this, and freedom do you want on this? How much work do you want to put in? There's so many ways to monetize as a personal brand. As far as a clinic, again, it comes back to like having a goal and like driving traffic to a good website where people can actually do business with you. So are you giving people like tips about, you know, like, hey, reminder, it's the first of the month, your pet needs their heartworm preventative type thing, but actually having a call to action where they can go to your online store and purchase that from you, right? So there's a lot of different things to kind of unpack there. It's a huge question. There's so many. This is like, This whole thing is a choose your own adventure, really.
And kind of like, I mean, the main thing I kind of got from that is like really always like linking back to, you know, anything you post, linking back to your products or services or resources. Yeah.
Having a call to action, like asking somebody to do something, right? And it doesn't always have to be buy something, but asking people to, you know, interact with you, engage with you, builds community, so that then when you say, hey, buy something in a better terminology than that, but like when you put that out there, all of a sudden they're going to be more apt to just be trained into that behavior of like, oh, hey, I always click on her links, or oh, hey, I always comment on her stuff. So it's really good to kind of train that engagement with calls to action and then turn it into something that you can monetize in the future. But it's exciting for sure. There's so much opportunity.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned community as well. And I noticed that on like Snout School it's highlighted a lot. And so why is that something that, you know, you find necessary to focus on so much?
So when I built Snout School, I couldn't quite stomach being like Danielle Lambert Consulting, right? Like it just wasn't me. I always wanted it to be something bigger. I always wanted it to be something that could include others. I wanted to really build it out as a platform that then I could use to launch other people's platforms. And that's something that really matters to me. And you know, like I've worked with brands through the years where I didn't feel that was the case, right? Like, okay, hey, this is just about this person. I wanted it to be something more than that. And so that is why I think I am so set on making sure my platform really does build community. So giving the women in the Snout Squad the opportunity to put their stuff out there, or we're starting to take you know, blog and video submissions from the Snout School community, starting to integrate them into the social media more. And, you know, we're launching podcasts to bring more people in. I'm just really about everybody being able to level up, because I hate all the doom and gloom in vet med about like outlook on your career and how like, oh, you're a vet tech, so you're going to be poor forever, you know, making $13 an hour. Like, I know vet techs out there hustling, teaching other vet techs things and making great livings. And it's like, I just want people to kind of see that positivity and feel that support that they need to get there from a community.
Mm-hmm. And you also specifically talk a lot about female empowerment as well, I noticed. So why do you think that that's also like an important subject to you?
Oh, it's totally the other thing. And I mean this with all the love in the world, but when you start to kind of just look at like the top brands that really represented us traditionally, you know, the Marty Beckers or Ernie Wards or the Andy Rourkes. And it's like, that's actually not who you see when you go into a vet school. It's not super representative of, you know, who is out there. And it doesn't mean that those guys can't have platforms, and they're amazing and they do a lot of great things for the veterinary industry. So I don't mean that against them in any way, but I think that we need to, like, women often kind of worry about like being polite and waiting their turn and, oh, I don't know if I could do that. Oh, well, she already did that. I don't want to step on her toes, like, kind of thing. Like, we kind of, there's all sorts of crazy research about this, but that's the easiest layman's term version of it. Is we kind of just worry too much about being polite. And I really want women to see that there are so many opportunities and that it's not a negative to step up and say like, hey, I want to go after this goal. I have this dream. I want to do this stuff. That isn't something that should be frowned upon, right? I also think just inherently, we can help women succeed more when we kind of work more together, because just reality is still that women end up bearing the burden of a lot of more the domestic things that we have to that we have on our plates. Just again, statistically, still a reality. And I think that the more we can kind of work together to elevate each other, we can kind of do it faster without having to do it all. And it's like it takes a village to raise a brand, basically. And so that's why I'm a big fan of focusing on women and giving them more opportunities and empowering them and supporting them in this industry, because in a space where, you know, they dominate by numbers, you know, vet schools are graduating around like 85% female. Like, I just want to see more female voices. I want to just see younger voices, more diverse voices in our space. So this is kind of my little area to focus on.
I love that. It's amazing. And I mean, for people that want to kind of bring their voices out, but they maybe feel a little bit uncomfortable about using social media, or they just don't really know what they're doing, or they feel, you know, self-conscious in any sort of way. Do you have any tips for them, especially like the younger
people? Yeah. It's super hard, right? For some people where they just feel uncomfortable with this whole concept. Like, I naturally lean more extroverted, right? So like me talking to my camera, like on my phone, just comes naturally and I don't really think much of it. But I know for some people, it can be super scary. So that's a big thing I recommend in general, is like, just get used to talking to your phone and talking to yourself a little bit and putting stuff out there. But also realize that building a brand can look different for everybody. Okay. So like, I'll just take a lot of selfies and put them out because it's easy to take a selfie. And I like to write. I don't really care so much about the picture. So I like to write my Instagram caption. So I'll just take a selfie, be like, hey, this is my face. And then all of a sudden I get a chance to actually write out my content, right? But for some people, I know that like the selfie part would be horrifying, right? Or they'd worry like, oh, is she super like narcissistic and self-absorbed? And what is everybody thinking? So I think one, just giving up on caring what people think about you. Can't make everybody happy, and everybody's always going to have, you know, like some haters, and people are going to have things to say. But if you just get out there, put content out that's authentically you, that works naturally for you, whatever that is, you're going to attract the right audience to you, and they're going to support you. Because it's just like with public speaking, everybody's super scared, but you have to realize like the audience is rooting for you. They don't want to watch a bad public speaker, you know, for the next 2 hours. They want to see you succeed. So the more you kind of think about the fact that there is an audience out there that wants to hear from you, you just need to be yourself and put that out there and attract them. I think those are kind of the key key steps you got to get your head around, but I know it's super scary for some people.
Yeah. And I really like that you touched on like authenticity and stuff. I feel like, especially, you know, this younger generation, we are very like weary and skeptical of people and posts and like advertisements.
Huge. Yes. Yeah,
so it really is just, you know, be yourself, be genuine. I think like that comes off, it comes across even through a picture or whatever.
Oh, seriously. Absolutely. Right. So, I mean, there's crazy data to show that millennials especially like really value transparency as, you know, pet owners, right? They want to know what the heck is going on in the clinic. They want to see behind the scenes. They want to know their veterinarian, right? So they really like that transparency. And I think that Gen Z is like adding on another layer of that, right? So I always kind of have an interesting perspective on this because I'm kind of, I think what you call like an elder millennial, right? Like I'm like 32. So I'm like right on the, at the top end of millennial. And then I've got siblings that range in age all the way down to 18. So like, I know how they behave on social, and like my little sister is so much more like kind of like secretive behind the scenes versus, you know, like my friends that are all like, share what you just ate on Facebook. Right. And so I think that we're going to see even more of a shift toward that kind of behavior. And it means that as brands, I don't even think these like super glossy, super perfect Instagram brands are going to be a thing much longer. Like, I think that the more it's just you and what's going on, and that's something that I'm even trying to like get super comfortable with of like, you know, we're in, you know, quarantine status, basically. I can't get my hair done. My roots are like 3 miles long. Okay, I'm still going to get on my Instagram story, right? Like it's just get it. You've got to just kind of get over it. But just know everybody, like I work with some of the most successful people in veterinary medicine. Every single one of them have struggled with imposter syndrome. Every single one of them gets a little bit scared about this stuff. Like, if somebody tells you they never worry about any of this, they are lying. So just go be yourself, be authentic, because that's going to attract that good audience to you. And it's what they want.
Yeah. And how do you think like social media can really impact mental health, like in the veterinary industry, like in terms of comparing each other, or, you know, is there more pressure, or what are your thoughts on that?
Right. And see, like, that's what I hate when I go to a vet school and they feel like, oh, I can't start a presence because she did, you know, she's like the most famous vet student in our class, right? Like, this is a new thing where all of a sudden it's like, oh, you know, oh, I can't do this as well as this person or whatever. There's a lot of that like comparison. And don't they say like comparison's the thief of joy or whatever? Like, you can't compare yourself like that. You need to realize that your value isn't based on like likes or follows and things like that. It's really the impact that you are having on the community that you wish to serve. That's what you need to measure yourself by, not by like every little, you know, oh, she has 15,000 followers, I only have, you know, 100, I'm worthless. Like, that's not what we want. We want you to build, again, it goes back to the more you're building something authentic, the more you can realize that this is something that's just, you know, an extension of who you are in real life. It's not, but don't look at the numbers. So I hate when I hear that kind of stuff, because it just breaks my heart. But I get it at the same time. And there totally is that, like, don't get me wrong. I know I hear all the veterinary school gossip. so I've heard, I know word on the street on everything. And so I know this is something that comes across veterinarians and young vets' minds, but I think that it really comes back to like, just put stuff out there that's you, and only do this if it's something that is authentic to you to begin with. Like, some people are like, I don't really want to do that. And it's like, that's fine. This isn't your thing then. Right. And I think that's okay. Like, just coming to terms with that is even an option here.
Mm-hmm. And even like just remembering that, I think, you know, everybody starts somewhere. It's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Seriously. Like, I never really made a LinkedIn for Snout School. And so like, I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to make a LinkedIn. And all of a sudden it's got like 100 followers. And I'm like, what the hell? Cause, you know, like, I'm used to, you know, over on Instagram, we've got like 11,000. Right. And so I've had to build brands from like zero over and over again, whether it's my own or clients. So like, just know that it's not easy. People see somebody like a Christy Crow and they're like, oh my God, she has 15,000 followers. But what they don't know is like, Christy has worked her butt off, you know, building that presence, planning stuff out, you know, calling me, talking to me about stuff, you know, and working on things and, you know, reaching out to, she has a huge, huge community that helps support her. So it's not just all her magically one day waking up and having 15,000 followers that are super engaged with her. Right. You have to realize that, yeah, everybody definitely does start somewhere in terms of building a social media presence.
Yeah. And it's just a learning experience too. Like sometimes you try post one thing, it doesn't resonate for some reason. And then you post something, maybe you don't think too much about it. And then everybody starts commenting. It's like,
oh my God. Yeah. I post stuff that bombs all the time. Like, and that's something you have to be really careful with, is not getting scared to try new stuff. Right. Like I sometimes will get two in my head. My other project in my vast free time, is 7S Society, where we are, teaching, practice ownership skills, right? So I've partnered with three guys that are, multi-practice or have been multi-practice owners, and we are building out the 7S Society presence. And I get so in my head, right? Like I've built out this team to help, support us on that as we kind of start to grow it. And I get like analysis paralysis trying to guide them sometimes. So it definitely is a thing that happens to even somebody like me that has been doing this forever, where I get really worried. But don't let that scare you off from trying new things. If it bombs, it bombs. Move on, try something else, and realize that like the social media algorithms are evil sometimes.
Yeah, and you know what? Like I've been finding. I mean, this is my perspective, obviously, but I've been really finding also that like specifically within the vet community for students and young professionals, like people are very want to see each other succeed. I'm finding it's like a really great community with like a lot of just supportive people from all around the world. So, I mean, yeah, go for it for sure. Like take
absolutely. Like overall, like they kind of call it like the Vetstagrams community, like over on Instagram. Yeah. I find that community to be really supportive. It's interesting too, because I'm at this point when you're in your 30s, you can kind of play well with both audiences, both like vet students and like really established consultants. And overall, I really find this younger generation to just be more collaborative. That's supposed to be kind of a millennial Gen Y or Gen Z, excuse me, kind of characteristic, is supposed to be just that's more collaborative type thing. Whereas I think that past generations haven't always been super open to that. Of course, there are exceptions to the rules. Like I think of so many people that have helped me and supported me, but there's also a lot of, you know, competition with people behind the scenes. So I am hoping that that's starting to change, because I think one thing we need to realize, go look at stats on pet spending. There is enough to go around even right now. Like go look at what people are still spending on their pets. There is plenty of business for everybody. And the more you are building something that's unique to you, there's space for you. You don't have to crush somebody else to succeed.
No. And I feel like also collaboration brings opportunity. Like you might collaborate with somebody and come up with some idea, and together you just create something amazing. You know, I've definitely seen a lot of people do things. Yeah.
No, I think that's really why I wanted to expand the education at Snout School in a way that brought in other people and their voices, because it's so interesting, right? Like I can have something like somebody like Dr. Ashley Bourgeois, derm vet, come to me with like her cytology info, but without me, she wouldn't really know how to like break it down and put it into like a visual platform that is going to really disseminate everything that she had to say. She knows everything on earth, but she doesn't necessarily have the skill set to then take that and make it look like a pretty product. And even I work with a designer and I guide the designer, right? So the more you kind of lean into the fact that like, you're not going to be good at everything. That's something I struggle with all the time. I totally want to be good at everything. The more you delegate to people that are, you know, professionals in things, and the more you collaborate with people that know something that you don't, you definitely can get a lot more out of stuff than just doing everything yourself.
Yeah. And I think now too, we're seeing, obviously, you know, because of the pandemic, a lot of people are at home or are forced to do, you know, online classes, online everything. We're seeing so much more like creativity. Like certain people are collaborating to do live videos or doing like, I don't even know, like Zoom, like hangouts.
Oh my gosh, there's so many good things.
Whatever it is. Yeah. So I mean, and I guess like that kind of have another question for you, and it kind of goes along with that is like, how do you believe the coronavirus and all of that impact will impact the way that people use social media marketing in the future and also telemedicine?
So I'm super excited to see that. I think this is kind of exposing a few things, right? Like traditionally in veterinary medicine, when we're talking about vet clinics, a lot of people struggle with explaining to their boss that like, hey, I can manage social media from home and I should be paid for that, right? And so I am hoping that in vet clinics, they're starting to see the value of work from home employees because there's a lot of people that manage social media for clinics after hours and like don't get compensated, which I am a huge, huge proponent of changing that. So I'm hoping that that kind of changes things. I hope that we're starting to see that every single thing doesn't have to be a, you know, an actual meeting. Like we can do lots of great things for the environment and for our efficiency by having Zoom meetings and using webinar platforms. I'm like, fingers crossed on, you know, sponsors starting to see the value in those platforms more and more, because it's something that I've been building out forever. And you're like, guys, this is a place that they are, you know, people are here. So I love that. As far as telemedicine goes, and I will totally preface this with, I am not a telemedicine expert. I just happen to, again, collaborate with somebody, Dr. Jessica Vogelsang, who has been singing the praises of telemedicine for, you know, like 5 years now. And she's a great expert on the subject, who of course has a telemedicine guide in the Snout School store. But she is somebody that I really kind of look to for guidance on this topic. And something that I think her and I both have kind of discussed is this has already been going on. Like telemedicine, I've been joking on my Instagram story that like text my dad is my new telemedicine platform because my dog had diarrhea today. So I texted my dad and I was like, who wants to invest in text my dad, right? Like I text my dad. That's telemedicine technically. If I was his client, not his daughter, texting my vet, that's telemedicine, right? So I think we need to get away from this idea that it's like something like crazy big and scary and realize that it's something that we could do, you know, a lot more efficient things going forward. Like I know some people that are using telemedicine to do like surgical follow-ups, like doing like post-surgical follow-ups, which I used to, as a practice manager, have a veterinary technician that spent like a big chunk of a day calling everybody back and being like, hey, you know, I see Archer got neutered yesterday. How is he doing? Being able to just shoot them a text asking that question instead, still is providing a great level of customer service. It shows that you care, right? And frankly, like who the heck even answers their phone at this point? So like sending a text that they'll actually see and respond to. So I think there's lots of little things like that that we can do that are going to help us be more efficient. And I'm also seeing this as an interesting thing in terms of access to care, right? So all of a sudden we're able to reach people. I've seen some interesting posts from Dr. Carrie Journey over in Dr. Vogelsang's veterinary telemedicine group. So she has been talking about how people are coming to her as a specialist that she usually wouldn't have had a conversation with, right? I think there's so many ways that telemedicine can help connect people and bring down boundaries in terms of access to care. Like if there's not a veterinary neurologist in your area, you can just, you know, find one on a telemedicine platform. And I think that's super exciting. So I think those are the things that we're going to see stay, right? Like regular appointment, every single thing doesn't have to be this like virtual visit, but there's so many things that we can do to increase our efficiency and to really up customer service, I think, and to really up access to care that are the most exciting points of telemedicine that I see right now.
Mm-hmm. And I definitely think like, you know, the younger generation who are already building their platforms and their brands on social media and, you know, connecting with potential clients in a way that's like a precursor to telemedicine because they have that connection already digitally. So it can
exactly
just move into another direction a little bit.
Well, and I know that's like the big thing, something I can offer some insight on with that, because this becomes the big question of like, oh, when do I stop giving like free advice online, right? And like this comes up all the time for me as a consultant, right? People, you know, message me or like post in my group. I can't help every single person directly. It's just impossible, right? And it used to to make me feel bad. And I would try to help everybody. And I know a lot of veterinarians can empathize with feeling like that. If you build this big brand and you have followers like that, that are your, you know, clients, if they're messaging you, having more formal telemedicine gives you options, gives you a really good boundary to set where you can, you know, answer their question, you know, in a quick form and say, hey, but you could book a consult with me here if we need to discuss more, if we need to prescribe something, et cetera, right? So if anything, I think it's giving people good structure for things. My dad has practiced telemedicine for free for his entire career. I've watched him text message with people sideways on his iPhone like a weirdo forever, you know? So I think it's giving this next generation an opportunity to kind of train clients early to set boundaries, have better work-life balance, and really honor what works for them. So I think that's exciting.
Mm-hmm. So can you actually share a story just about a particular experience that you've had in regards to social media and digital marketing within VetMed that has like shaped you or somebody you know?
Oh, I'm trying to think of a good one right off the bat. Okay. So when I kind of think of where I really fell in love with this, and some people, if they've ever heard my webinars, they might've heard this story before, but this is what happens as you get older, you recycle your stories. And as an elder millennial, I'm going to recycle a story. But we had, when I was managing my dad's practice, we had a little kitty come in named Bibi, which was kind of a dark humor veterinary name because unfortunately he was shot with a BB gun. Had a good, I know, so sad. It's typical veterinary humor of like, oh, he got shot by a BB gun, name him Bibi. So this poor little kitty, when he first came in, we thought he was hit by a car until the radiographs revealed otherwise. He his back legs were paralyzed. We posted stories about it, right? Like it was the first time I really posted something where I didn't know what was going to happen. Like, what if this cat dies tomorrow, right? And that scared the crap out of me. But so many people started commenting and supporting it. And then a couple weeks later, I was at the dentist. And you know how like the dental hygienist always wants to talk to you while she has like her hands in your mouth? And she asked, she was like, hey, how's that little kitty doing? And like something about that was such a light bulb moment about how literal community is with, you know, with the internet, right? Like we might see it as social media and it's this whole separate entity, but really it's not. It's just an extension of like everybody as a human wants to bond with people. We're nosy. We like to know what's going on. We want to have a community. So I think that was like one of the most defining moments of like, holy crap, you know, people are paying attention to this. They care about this and it's captivating and interesting to them. And it's building, you know, a community around this little kitty who went on to have a pretty good life with one of our vet techs, Paula, that took care of him forever. So it really, I think that was like the most defining little social media moment for me of like, shoot, this stuff is real.
Yeah. And you know what? I find that a lot with memes, like meme culture. Like, you know, you have one meme from a random movie. It's like a screenshot. Sometimes it's blurry and people post a funny caption and it kind of every single person, like you can make this reference in real life and joke around because so many people see it from different walks of life and have seen different versions of it. And it really is like building a community, like an inside joke with the world.
Right, with the world, right? It connects us. And I think that's super interesting. Probably the other thing that I would reference in terms of something that I've seen that was interesting with the power of social media is to kind of bring it back to talking about Christy Crow on this whole episode, apparently. But
hey, Christy.
I know, right? typical. But Christy is somebody who, you know, she is graduating with a really amazing first job opportunity that's going to really force her to challenge herself and get into practice ownership as soon as possible of social media. So she, you know, she connected with me via social media. So much networking happened. One thing led to another. I connected her with Dr. Dan Markwalder and Dr. Adam Conroy, my business partners over at 7S Society. You know, she externed with them. They loved her and they hired her and they want to, you know, groom her into being somebody who is going to be a practice owner one day. But they also respect that, like, she wants to, you know, do all the social media stuff. They support that. So I think that these presences can really work like this, you know, living resume about who you are and what you stand for, and help you connect with people that are going to support that rather than, oh my gosh, so many practice owners being like, oh, what do you need a personal brand for, right? Like it's going to help you really attract the opportunities that are perfect for you. So I was just so freaking happy when she got that job. I was like, yes, like that is exactly, you know, that's what this is about. Like everybody, you know, if you think that like social media is this like frivolous waste of time, I mean, she got her dream job because of it. So.
Yeah. And it's just, it's basically network. I mean, networking exactly. Like for your, you know, and so like, I think that anytime you connect with anybody on there, you just never know where it's going to take you. You can have somebody follow you and little do you know, like you might spark up a conversation one day mm-hmm. and then it leads to something great. Right. So it's yeah. always just being open-minded for sure about everything.
Absolutely. One thing on that is another thing to remember that you never know who is watching.
True. Very true.
I have access to a lot of accounts and I've seen some rude comments sometimes and I'm like, noted.
Yeah. So, I mean, I didn't even have this question prepared, but like how, now that you mentioned that, like how do you have any tips for people that like deal with quote unquote haters, like rude people or mean messages, things like that?
Oh my gosh, delete. I am a huge fan of blocking and deleting, block, ban, delete, get rid of everything. Mm-hmm. So if you have that on your personal brand, just get rid of it, block, ban, delete, report, do not put up with it. Like just get rid of it. Mm-hmm. And same thing applies, you know, with managing reputation for a veterinary practice. There's things you can do like in your Facebook settings to ban certain words so that, you know, people aren't leaving nasty comments or you don't get like attacked by animal rights activists in the middle of the night. There's all sorts of things that you can do to kind of protect your reputation there, but please, please, please do not be afraid to just like ban, block, delete people. Like you don't, one thing that makes me really sad in vet med is I feel like we, you know, like let clients treat us terribly and we're like, oh, why are they like this? And it's like, because you're letting them, you don't need that. So you don't need that negative follower. You don't need that negative client. Just get rid of them, please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, definitely not good for your mental health as well.
No, absolutely not. And like, that's the thing is, I know some people, when you get to building a bigger brand, you might not even want to look through the comments, you know, like it's just inherently going to happen. I think of my friend, Dr. Cody Krillman, who's Cody Krillman Cow Vet, across social media. I think he has like upwards of 200,000 followers. Like he's got a huge YouTube channel. Of course, somebody's not going to like something and they're going to comment. Like once you build a brand out that big, you need to realize that like, don't look through that stuff. Mm-hmm. Have somebody else look through it for you and clean it up.
Yeah, and I mean, sometimes it's not, you know, somebody might just come out of nowhere and not even know really what you're doing. So it's not like,
it's so hard because without context, right? Like that's exactly. Something that like keeps me up at night. If I like make one offhanded joke in the world of like cancel culture, like one line gets taken out of context and people don't know what you're talking about. And it's like very scary. But I think that's also another reason why you want to have a really robust social media following, because, you know, if I say something wacky on this podcast and you pulled out one quote and you're like, Danielle Lambert says this crazy thing on the Next Gen podcast, right? I would feel super confident that my audience would be like, that's not Danielle. Like Danielle, she wouldn't mean that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So the more you build this out, and that applies for your vet clinic too, the more you build out a great presence for a vet clinic, and like you get one bad review from one psycho client, everybody's like, no, that's not how they are. You know what I mean? So that's really where it comes into building that community, being loyalty. Authentic so they know who you are. Exactly. They'll stand up for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, because at the end of the day, yeah, it's like your character outweighs that one comment.
Or exactly. That one thing. Exactly. The whole cancel culture makes me so sad because I just can only imagine being like a celebrity in today's climate. You like are constantly getting interviewed and talked to and you say one offhand that like, you know, remark and it's all over and it's like, oh man. So I always think it's so important to have people that truly, truly know you and support you that will rally behind you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, honestly, that's pretty much most of my questions for you. Awesome. But I do have like, so at the end of each of our podcasts, we kind of do a little short Q&A that just about you. And so
I'm ready.
Number one, what is your ultimate career goal?
Oh my God, I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. This is like a big pressure question. I honestly don't know that I have an answer for that because I'm somebody who is like, I get bored. So I am a person that I will always be changing and evolving. But I think that I see myself continuing to build out more education, more media outlets, and just more great stuff in this space.
Mm-hmm. And that was a good answer though. You did. That's good. Do you have like a quote or like a philosophy that you live by?
There's like a lot of good ones, but I, being from Massachusetts, I love my Emily Dickinson, and she has this poem that is just super short, and it's just, in this short life that only lasts an hour, how much, how little is within our power. And I always just like kind of think about that, like when I feel like, you know, kind of just trying to get myself going in a day and like finding motivation to do things. And it's always like, hey, like, life is not as long as you think it is. You know, make the best of it and do whatever you can to really live it to its fullest.
Mm-hmm. And also, I guess, you know, some things you can't control. And
oh no, absolutely not. Yeah, exactly. Like exactly. It's so funny. Like I think of, yeah, I have a tattoo in Spanish that says in Spanish, but it says only mystery makes us live. And I feel like that's another one that I would totally look by. That's why when you ask me where you would see my career going, I'm like, we'll see.
You like the mystery. That's good.
Yeah.
So who inspires you to continue to make a change within the industry?
You know what? It's like, it's really interesting for me. It really comes from just the community at large. When I interact with people in this space and I just see how much potential they have, that makes me so excited for their future. Like I see somebody like, you know, Christy Crow, and I see what is in front of her. And that makes me want to keep, you know, helping everybody like level up. And just as I see people like grow and change, that totally, totally inspires me. And you know, my having just roots in this industry, my dad being a veterinarian, my little brother is just about to graduate vet school technically in like a week. And so just having and then I have another brother that's looking at vet school. So we have a whole Lambert dynasty. That's so awesome. I just like want to make this like a better, you know, just a better profession and better space and better industry for, you know, everybody in it.
Mm-hmm. So what's your kind of advice, I guess, you know, for people that want, like young professionals who want to do everything that you're talking about and follow that kind of route and really become, you know, experts in a way in their space online?
Totally. Just start, right? Be humble about it, but start. So start, put content out, start connecting with the people you want to connect with, start sharing the kind of things you want to be known for. But again, be humble. Like you can't come out, you know, you can't be first year vet student putting out like expert veterinary advice, right? Like you need to be somebody who's willing to collaborate with others, share their expertise and things like that. But really seriously, just get going. Don't get analysis paralysis. I'm guilty of it too. Just start stuff and get it out there.
Mm-hmm. Just go.
you have to rip the band-aid off, you know?
Yeah. So where can people find you? Like email, social media, website, all of that stuff.
Well, I have an internet addiction, so I'm pretty easy to find. The best places to find me are probably snoutschool.com as well as at Danielle Snout on Instagram or snout.school over on Instagram. So I'll give Instagram some love, and otherwise you head on over to snoutschool.com/start and you can get all sorts of updates about everything that we're up to, whether it be podcasts or social or blogs and whatever we have going on. So snoutschool.com/start is a good spot to go.
Yeah, well, thank you so much again, Danielle. We really appreciate you being with us. And a big thank you to our Next Pod listeners. Remember, you are the future. So join us next month for another in-depth talk.